Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
That was when I a driver for Zellabyte gave me a small card, postcard, the original of that.
Taken by one Molly Hall, who used to live here years ago. So I had that enlarged and colored for Margie for Christmas here some time ago. That was Sherwood in 1905.
1905?
Yeah. What were you doing with Sounds on the Bad? Well, this driver, we had the writing store, see?
Uh-huh.
And he came through and he said, one day, he said, Daisy, can you use this card? So he gave me the card and I've used it, and that's it.
This is a card?
I had it blowed up and, you know, I had a picture taken from it and blowed up and hand colored it.
Well, there's a few buildings that aren't there now.
Oh, a lot of them went up in smoke. A lot of them.
It looks like what's the Sherwood Furniture, and what was the auction building, that was in that there. The railroad station, isn't that the existing railroad?
That's the railroad, but you see, there's no cannery there yet.
Yeah. Wasn't there a baseball diamond there?
Yeah, park was right behind the, right over here.
Where the cannery is.
Yeah, well, it's right behind the cannery.
Now, the railroad, that's the same building.
Mm-hmm. And previous to that time was the brickyard. It was over in there, too.
What's this building here next to the railroad building?
This is the city hall.
Oh, is that still there? More back on.
Yeah, more back on.
What's this one right here, the foreground?
This one is
a wood frame building.
Well, that was a lumber yard.
Well, that was a lumber yard.
Yeah, a fellow named Hamill at it.
And there's the Methodist church that we're sitting right across from right now.
That's the Methodist church, and this water tower was taken out. Now the city well is back over in here. Back in the...
Where's that water tower?
This.
You remember a story about an old saloon keeper that climbed up there on a bed?
Oh, I've heard about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to get up and get him down, though.
Yeah.
And this is
And that other church over there, way over...
The Friends Church.
Now, are there Friends and Methodists?
Friends and Methodists.
No Catholics, yeah?
Yeah, the Catholics are Catholics, yeah, but they have the church was where the, you know where the cannery is now.
Oh, yeah. Now, the Catholics, now, that's, I was asking you before about some of these different kinds of people that came through. Now, the Catholics, I always identify that with people from Southern Europe. Now, I asked you before also about you.
Oh, yeah. Now,
there's something very Italian about that Catholic.
Well, there's some twists in there, too.
Twists,
yeah. Two needles are twists.
Oh. Well, there's something that... would he be associated with one of these researchers?
No. Where the Catholic Church is now is Marjorie Spoke's old homestead. Well,
what was your name?
Hoy.
Hoy?
It's your wife.
Well, I heard that.
Well, he worked in these stores around here for years and years and years. He worked with Kilpatrick in one of the buildings down here for years. And he worked in Tualatin for years and years and years.
I heard that name the other day. I can't remember what
it was talking about. But he lived in where the Catholic Church is now is the old homestead. When it got to be the fact that he couldn't handle it, we sold that to the Catholics. And they in church moved the church up from the site, the present site of the cannery, up to our old homestead. That's where it is now, see?
I see.
And then they built the tannery.
Now that Catholic church that's there now looks a lot like...
Yeah, they're all
like
about the...
They're all about the
same type of church, same shape.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And 9 out of 10 were white originally, but, painted in white.
Yeah.
That's a Friends church over there.
Yeah.
Now the Friends.
They have a new church.
Yeah, right? This is hard for me to imagine a Methodist church and a Friends church in 1904 in a town that's mostly made up of Germans.
Well, at that time, apparently not, because apparently they have their own.
Apparently, the town didn't have any particular majority living within it.
No, I don't have any majority in those days.
Now, if you weren't walking down the street, you didn't have any trouble. Anybody you saw, you could easily use your church talk, but they'd be able to talk to you in English.
Oh, yeah. Really want to get I have any trouble with it.
Schweitzers. Swiss, we call them Schweitzers.
Schweitzers, yeah. No, so it's kind of interesting. Because Germans have trouble understanding each other, too.
Now, there's a list of the charter members from 1945
of the Methodist
of the Kiwanis.
Oh, the Kiwanis.
Yeah.
Now, some of these people.
I thought that might recall some of the names.
W. Adair, I know him.
He was a banker.
I saw him just yesterday. Mm-hmm. George A. Troth, I knew him real well.
Guthrie.
Bill Bowen. Guthrie,
yeah.
I didn't know him too well, I guess.
Walt Bowen.
Yeah, and he used to have a little fishing tackle, didn't he, in place?
No. Walt Bourne was the son-in-law of Moorbach and was vice president of the bank.
Oh.
And then he did have that little place down there.
That's right, I remember. He didn't have that's one of the original buildings, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still there. Yeah.
And the fire station, the little fire station?
Yeah, it's still there.
And I think Drummond's place is lower level, isn't it?
That was a cobbler's shop.
Oh.
Hinky.
Oh?
Hinky.
Hinky. Ralph Bauer, Bell, Griffel, John Burge, he's still alive.
Yeah, he's still alive. He lives out Six Corners.
Yeah. Richard Councilman?
Yeah.
Richard Councilman.
He's one of your members out here, Blue Town.
And Herb Dalkey.
He has a feed store down here.
G.K. Perry, James Perry, Max Perry.
Turkey boys up on the hill over here. They have all the turkeys, you know.
Uh-huh. Otto Fickin. I
remember Otto.
Oh, I know them people pretty well.
Yeah.
Otto's not alive.
No, he's been dead for 10 years.
Yeah. Robert Graham.
He's still living over here, but you wouldn't know him.
Somebody was telling me about a Mrs. Graham.
Yeah, that's his wife.
That's his wife.
Yeah.
They said she was up about 95 or
something. She's up there, yeah.
And FM Fred Hyde, he's over here, yes.
Marcel.
Does he call him Marcel?
Yeah.
Okay, he's the one that's there now.
Yeah.
He's a little Pop Howard.
No, he was in the news office. He moved to California. He died about a year ago.
Art Kraft.
Yeah.
I've got to interview him again. He had a little store down here.
Yeah.
He had a brickyard over there.
Yeah.
Something about Sherwood, they always seem to have something going on with brick. I'm surprised you don't have a brickyard now.
Well, yeah, there's always something of that nature going on. I dug a patio out here a couple years ago, and I had to dig down, and here I found a beautiful sidewalk of bricks.
Oh, yeah?
It's a good one, and hard. I couldn't break them. I just couldn't break them. They're so hard.
See, Clyde Sanders?
Yeah. He was the mayor for...
Earl Reiser, I remember him.
He died here about a year ago.
Oh.
He had the store at Six Corners for years, you know.
Yeah, I know. I remember that store real well. That was the place where you still had to go in and walk up the counter. And
right.
There were a few other stores like that, weren't there?
The one on this other side of the road then, because it wasn't like it is now. Just one road. And
if the kids used to always get their mom's grocery list and work out so that the guy would have to walk the greatest amount of distance.
Right.
But it's no wonder the prices went up, you know? Carol Pearson, Oscar Olson, Vic Mural, I know him real well.
Oscar Olson gave the city this park down here.
Oh, Olson Park.
Park.
Okay,
how the old house used to be on the corner here, this vacant lot. It went up to smoke.
It's called Mary Stella, something like that. Was it Stella Olson?
Stella Olson Park. That's
Stella,
his wife.
That's his wife.
Stella.
And he gave that to the town in memory of his wife.
Yeah.
Always wondered how they got there, that name. W.E. Mansfield.
Yeah, he had the grocery store down here. Lena still lives down here.
Oh. Because
he died some years ago.
And, Earl Shirk is,
Earl Shirk had the big store down here. He's been dead for a number of years. Mrs. Shirk is in with her daughter in Albany now. I think she's in the hospital, sick at the present time.
Art Saunders.
Yeah, he used to have the service station on the corner of the down here, where across from. One of the service stations now. That used to be Art Saunders' place.
So, now, also, we were talking about the trees, the forest. You were saying that there were just about trees everywhere here in 1921.
There were trees everywhere. Well, yeah.
But
this
looks, doesn't look like it. Looks like it's kind of wooded off or something.
Well, now we'd have a line up here, but they keep whittling them down, knocking them down, knocking them down. Now in those days, we could see Chehalis Mountain clearly, but now we can't see it. Trees.
Oh, you can see it from here?
Yeah, those days. Very good. But now we can't.
Now just for the record again, since I think I've got the tape working, you came from England. You were born in England.
Right.
In 1898.
Right.
And you came over here after you did the English Army.
Joined my brother.
Joined your brother.
Who was a minister at the Methodist Church.
Methodist Church. It's been kind of a tragedy. What time was it? About 2-3 o'clock in the morning?
A fellow woke him up at 5:30.
5:30?
Just going to work, yeah.
Yeah. And what did he say?
He hollered, the church is on fire. He said, I'm going to sound the alarm, so away he went. And I couldn't see whether they didn't have glasses, and he had covered with hair, and I couldn't see what it was. He turned in the alarm, and soon the fire apparatus came.
And so here was the church. You're members of the church?
Yeah.
I know you've been, I haven't been able to, I haven't had time to read this little thing here that I want to get put to paper. It says here that your brother, Reverend P.M. Blankensop, was the minister there for 5 years?
Four.
4 years?
Yeah.
About
4 and a half. There's another guy ahead of him.
So this is probably where your membership at this church starts, is that right?
When
1920?
Yeah. And one other thing, in those days, the ministers, those that could afford it, the single ones, got an old car and drove them, rather than walk like we walk.
Yeah.
They had a car and they commuted back and forth. Well, one of them made the mistake of bringing his records and sermons with him, and his car got robbed.
Oh.
And the records went, that was in 1928.
That was all the records of the church.
So up to 1928, there's no records. They're all gone.
Think the records could be around somewhere?
They were stolen on the way from Salem. Wherever he stopped, somebody stole their case that they were in, out of his car.
They've never turned up.
No, they'll never turn up. So what is up to 28 is what we actually know.
When was the church founded?
1895. It's there.
Okay.
The whole thing is there. By United Brethren.
Is that the same as Methodist?
No.
United Brethren, this is...
Then the Congregationalists bought it.
Yeah. there must have been an era of religious freedom or something around here, because these are our churches,
yeah.
Like the Friends Church and United Brethren. Seems like it was probably people who probably left other places, maybe for religious reasons. Huh?
Depend who had the largest, the strongest denomination, formed the church.
Uh-huh. I know Newburgh is famous for all their churches.
Yeah. At one time, we were even joined with Newburgh.
Oh?
We shared ministers.
Oh. The Methodist ministers?
Yeah. And then later on, we shared ministers with a place you've never heard of, Ebenezer.
No.
Over the hill going to Newburgh, a lot of farm homes up on the hillside,
yeah.
Founded by immigrants from Germany, shod. And they built that church there.
Oh, well, Ebenezer. Down here between Newburgh and Sherwood.
Yeah, it's a bunch of farms. This isn't no town. It's just all the Shod clan have their own farm, the kids. And they built this church. And we shared ministers with them.
What about this going from churches to dance halls? Did you ever get set foot in that one in Langer's Grove that you were?
No.
That was a pretty rough place.
Pretty rough.
What do you mean?
Liquor was flowing freely and
ice places now.
Yeah, just about just this side of where Marcel's on the grove, you make a little corner there. Mm-hmm. Just this side of that, back in the grove.
What about Six Corners? Was there anything out there in
1920? Just the two stores on each side.
Reiser and Berg?
Reiser and Berg. Berg got that store in, it must have been the late 1930s when he got that store, because he came to me. I was in the paint business and he wanted his place fixed up, so I went out there and there's little old man, are we being ticked?
Yeah.
This little old man, a little old ship captain, I believe, with a white beard.
Uh-huh.
He got fed up with life and he just set a shotgun under here and he just blew that up for this.
Where was this?
That little place on the right hand side of Six Corners. Rises with one side and joined Berger with the other. John Birch came and bought that place, he asked me if I cleaned it up. So I went and cleaned it all up, made it livable, and that was John Birch's store for quite a long time. There's his kids there.
Now, what were people doing here? What were they here for? Right now the town has a little trouble finding a place for itself. Is this, a lot of people don't want to see Sherwood become just sort of a bedroom for Portland. They'd like to have a little bit of an identity.
I'm afraid that's what it's always been.
Yeah. People out here have always...
And they're still doing it now more than ever, commuting back and forth.
Yeah. And they did this by... Now, the Red Electric was going strong when you got here, wasn't it?
The what?
The Red Electric?
Yeah, I rode that for 5 years to and from work in Portland.
I was just down there at that railroad station. I was looking through the windows. It looks kind of empty in there.
I was
wondering.
A man that repaired organs had it.
Oh?
And the fellow that's remodeling this movie hall down here.
Yeah.
Put that huge pipe organ in there.
Yeah.
That's all he does. He builds these pipe organs and Bill Blanc and play. No,
crazy. I mean,
he's the organist for the Coliseum.
Yeah. No, he seems to have a lot of theatrical background or something.
Well, he bought, when the Oriental Theater on Grand Avenue was torn down, he bought up all the artifacts off the wall, the
uh-huh.
unicorn heads, the lion heads, and the whole thing, and they're in this movie down here.
You know, I finally met him down at the post office the other day, and I really tried to get him on that, and before I knew it, he was out the door again.
He's a good guy. I like Bill. He's one of the members, one of the great members of my daughter down there. He lives close by,
uh-huh.
down there.
I was wondering about this, about that railroad station. There's a lot of people are curious about, you know, this is whether it's gonna, how long it's gonna stay there and all that sort of thing.
Well, it's been,
I remember what it was like to catch trains in there.
It was always on time. I caught trains there for almost 6 years.
You walk in, I got buy a ticket.
Yeah.
They had had.
When I came, a fella named Allen, Mr. Allen, was a depot agent. We buy a trip ticket off him when we get up at the foot of Jefferson Street in Portland. And there we catch a streetcar or whatever to work, wherever we were working.
The streetcar is Portland. I still remember streetcars in Portland.
Yeah, there's a few tracks there then, but there were, there was quite a few, and then they turned to buses in later years.
How many people would, how many times would the rental electric come around? About?
Well, often. I left at 6:30 in the morning, I got over 6:30 at night on electric.
You did that every day?
Every day for almost 6 years.
So it, there was a brickyard. No, that brickyard closed.
Well, that was okay. You know, I don't know. That was okay, brickyard. I'm close by where you are, in here. Yeah. Where that motor court is. That's where Krebs got all his brick for the Lutheran church out there.
That was Otto Krebs.
Otto Krebs,
yeah. We got to do a history on that church, too. We're getting close to the...
You get art on that.
Yeah, I did it. A little interview on him already. I didn't get enough. I wonder, it must have been rather hard to see this church go next door.
Well...
Because you got a lot of your...
Now
they're probably gonna tear it down.
It'd have to come down. It's gotta come down, yeah.
That's gonna be kinda hard to see.
It's just completely gutted inside.
Yeah. There's no way to believe it, is there?
One thing I'm glad about, my brother isn't here to see it.
How's that?
I'm glad my brother isn't here to see it.
Yeah. Now he was he's only here 4 years.
Yeah.
What did he do? Get wanderlust again?
Well, no, every 4 years, ministers move on in this denomination. Some of them stay a little longer, but if they're liked and things are going along, the district superintendent or the minister over this area will leave them there. They're doing well, I feel. So we had some five, some six, but it's small. And after that, they want something bigger. They want more income, so they move up to a bigger church. See? That's what he was doing.
How did now, there were, do you remember the 4th of July festival?
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
Where did you live? After you came to Sherwood, where did you live?
We lived on the old homestead with the folks for a while.
That's where the Catholic church is.
That's where the Catholic church is, yeah. And across from that was the old.
And the folks, you mean the Hoys?
Hoys, yeah.
You must know Sherwood pretty well, downtown Sherwood.
Oh, pretty well, yeah. What was that?
Well, you remember the dance hall was in Sherwood.
Yeah. When I first came, the streets were up deep in mud.
I heard there was a real problem.
Well, I guess Margie's been here longer than I have. She'll know more about that. Although it didn't change in those days, not very much. Not until the 20s did it begin to change, when they put the old J.E. Morvac began to work on this bond issue to pave the streets. Then it began to get better.
Streets weren't paved in 1922?
There was about 25 before they were paved.
Boardwalks?
Boardwalks, yeah.
And I was wondering, what kind of businesses, were there any, I understand, unusual kinds of businesses?
Of course, there was more saloons now.
How many were there at the most? At one time.
Sure, Carlton and Shirks had the big one, though. They had the big mercantile store on the corner.
That building's not there.
Yeah, and then of course there was Pop Hankey, the shoe man across the street. And the other way, there were Millerall, the meat market. And on the other corner, next to them, was a restaurant.
These places all served alcohol?
No. No, they had to... Or straw high days, they had to get it wherever they could.
But were there as many as six saloons open at one particular?
Not in Sherwood, no, not that many, as I know.
Probably about four.
Four, it might have been four.
Yeah. Now there were, what else I was going to ask you there? Oh, about the 4th of July Festival. What sticks out in your mind?
We always had the ballpark.
Yeah.
For our festivals. And my brother was very active in those days when he was here in promoting these festivals. These 4th of July, we'd have a wing-ding, these games and stands and whatever he could get a hold of came out to Sherwood.
And it sounded like they had a lot of fun there.
Oh, they did have a lot of fun. They
were quite a crowd turnout there.
Oh, everybody. You see, there's no place else to go.
Yeah.
I'm glad to come.
That was So people, they go to work, and they work in a steel foundry in Portland during the week. And then they come out here and go to one of the four saloons.
Right. And this
have a good time on the weekend.
Yeah. There's a lot of things there that... If it's on here, I can't tell you about it.
I don't know. I don't see why not.
But the first thing I heard in Sherwood, the first thing I saw, I went down the street to the fella called Charlie Tooze, who was living here. He had his first
house?
In this house.
Uh-huh.
He'd had his first girl, and he was passing out cigars. And we got to the saloon down here, Coppell Saloon, and the door, a fella parted the door with his head. Right into the mud. He kicked him out.
Just like in the movie.
Oh, and he just stuck there. I thought the guy was going to drown. It was mud, you know. So I helped him get out of it. I helped him up, and then I beat it. I just didn't want any more of that stuff.
You didn't care to go into those saloons?
No, I wasn't going to argue with anybody. I helped the poor guy because his head was down in the mud, and he drowned. Those chuckles, you know.
Probably some stone. He didn't know.
And that's right. He was gone. That's what they threw him out for. Part of the door to be head.
They had swinging doors on the coal county.
Yeah, they opened this way, you know.
The streets were all mud. I suppose that's because of the iron rims on the wheels.
Right, they chewed it up, kept it chewed up.
Mostly horse and carry a buggy around here.
They tried bricks one time, but they buried those in a short time. Tried to make brick streets.
So well, I guess it was a little haphazard about
they that. They didn't last overnight, don't they?
Boy, I wonder what you'd find digging under the streets now.
Yeah, be surprised what you'd find. I guess you'd find some nice things.
Well, I bet there's all sorts of things you'd sunk in there. Probably old bodies. Or
yeah, you might.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember when you were here, you said something about a sea captain.
Now, yeah, this man that bought, that had the Burge, he got it from the estate. This little old man was a sea captain.
Yeah.
A little white beard.
Where did he come from?
Oh, heaven
knows. How did he get here?
Heaven knows. I wouldn't know. Little fellow with a white goatee.
He wore a little captain's hat?
Yeah, he just bought the store for pleasure and something to do. He got fed up and blew his head off.
Did you ever get out to the ocean much? Because you, not exactly did you get here. Did you come across the country or did you come by sea?
Yeah, by train.
You came by train?
Yeah, from New York.
And that was quite a ride.
It was
remember Ellis Island?
21 days.
Did you come in through Ellis Island?
Yeah, came right through Ellis Island.
Yeah. What do you remember about that?
That was a rough sinking place.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a rough one. They treated you rough.
A lot of people?
Oh, lots of
them. You came over on a... On
thousands.
A, you come over on a steamer?
Yeah.
And just, I suppose it was really packed with...
Oh, packed with what they call steerage.
Now, it seems to me, I remember hearing that the people from Europe would stop over in England. This is where they would actually catch the ship.
Well, that may be.
Is that right?
That may be. I wouldn't argue about that because...
Were the people, other passengers, were they English?
Oh, all denominations. Yeah. Oh, and not
so you had Italian. Italian?
Every kind, yeah. Some you couldn't understand. And
just all kinds of different nationalities.
Yes.
They stop over in Liverpool, I think.
No.
No?
No, they got on to Southampton.
Southampton?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is...
That's on the South Coast.
What was your state of mind when you got on the ship? Were you sober? Or?
Oh, yeah, I was... My buddies...
You were only 23, so you must have been...
There was nothing there, and really, you know, it was a big beginning... Like here, the beginning of the Depression. There was nothing.
Yeah.
So I decided to get out, and the other fellow said, well, we're going too. So 3 hours moved out, one went to Canada, one to Australia, and I came here.
You said you might have gone to Australia.
Yeah. But he didn't last. He got killed in some kind of a train wreck, and Sticky Baker came to Niagara Falls, and he was drowned.
Yeah.
So I came here and I lived.
Yeah, this all happened later in your lives.
No, when I first came, 22.
They died the same year?
Same year. It went all to the war, and then one was killed and one was drowned.
It's a freak accident.
Yeah.
What did you do? Draw straws or something?
No.
Went to 3 different places?
Or? No, we just decided we were...
You were
going to... I had no... I wanted to see my brother. I hadn't seen him for a long time. I wanted to see him.
So you had some money in your pocket? You said, I couldn't let him go to either place. What did you think you'd find here?
Well,
you said, now this was just about during the Roaring Twenties.
Yeah, I didn't know. It was pretty rough all over.
Now, things were sort of in a boom.
Yeah, there was plenty. Well, no, that's
the market hadn't crashed.
It was the beginning. It was starting to go down. It was hard to get work.
Here?
Yeah. I worked here I went down to San Francisco for about a year to try and get a job down there.
Why did you end up on the West Coast? You came out of your
seat. My brother was there.
That was why.
My brother was here preaching at that church, living right here.
Yeah. You came straight from New York to the
show? Yeah, yeah.
And,
I went down to San Francisco for a year, and I finally got a job down there. I got it the hard way, but my business, I knew what I was doing in my profession. I'd had 3.5 years of training. I didn't complete it, but I had to go into the service, I got 3.5 years.
What was that?
Paint business.
Paint business.
So I knew I could work with anybody. So I had no problem getting a job, but there was no work around here, no.
That was kind of a bad sign. In 1921.
In 1927, believe it or not, Walt Bowen, the bank manager's son-in-law,
yeah,
was running a movie. Silent movie in what is now the Odd Fellas.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, he quit, so I bought his machines. And I moved those machines over to where the bank is now, which was the old Star Hall.
What was that?
Star Hall was a rolling down below and a dance hall overhead. And it covered a quarter of a block. Where the present bank is now. So I showed movies in there for 7 years, all through the Depression.
In the bottom floor?
On the bottom floor. Silent movies, William S. Hart, Keystone comedies, and all this stuff.
They're right.
Only you betcha. That's how we got through the Depression.
They're all through the Depression, you
know? Yeah. That's what I
guess the movie industry really boomed, didn't it, during the Depression?
Oh, yeah.
People were looking for fantasy worlds that they could crawl into, I guess.
I had quite an experience in the movie, though. I had matinees. Show Friday evening, the matinee. Saturday and evening Sunday, and the same thing on Saturday. I had 5 shows. I'd average about $7,500 a month, and that was a lot of money.
Sure, in those days. That was a lot of money. Let me try this one. So, you showed all these old movies. Now, I suppose that was sort of... Now, you know this guy that's starting up this movie house.
Yeah.
You know him pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of a mystery person.
Well,
but he says I asked him. He said he's got some movies there that were released, but they were never picked up. Have you seen those?
No, I haven't seen any at all. But practical. Those days, they didn't mean anything. We just burned them when we got them.
Is that right?
All the great big posters. We always got two or three big posters. We burned them as we got them, you know.
Oh, boy. What were the posters like? Were they colored? Full length of colored, whatever this that was set straight.
Show would be. It was William S. Hart. It would be Hart with these guns or something like that, you know. Or it might be a scene. He might be a lake with an old house up set up front on the side of the hill. Or
well, here she is now. We got her correcting that.
Didn't he come?
Think you've lived here too long? You've lived here pretty well all your life.
Inasmuch as you become too attached to things. You know what I mean?
Hmm? What happened? He didn't come down.
What have you been doing? What have you been doing?
We set the chapel whenever we have a person down there. Mr. Trell owns the chapel in Newburgh. And the work is done up there, but when there's any Sherwood people, well, they're down here. And then there's the visitation hour.
Oh, I see.
And you have Ken to and I are...
But you're originally from the Hoy family?
That's right. My father and mother, I came here in 1912. My mother and I came out to visit her parents, the Jansons that lived at East Court, in 1912. And she kept riding. We were on a homestead in Dakota, South Dakota. My dad was back there, of course, farming. But when you traveled in those days, you didn't just go for a week, you know. You stayed. So we were here a month. Two, 3 months, I guess. This is my aunt. And when they, in the meantime, Mom was writing to Dad. And one night, in the worst storm you can imagine, electrical storm, and she'd been writing a lot. No thunderstorms and lightning storms like we have back there, you know. Well, we were at the dinner table one night, and off of the storm, or yes.
What year was
that?
What year was that? 1912. They used to have some really wild storms out here.
Oh, we did. And my aunt went to the door, and there stood my father. All just couldn't believe it, you know. And he had his little old black suitcase. He had to prove to me that he was my father, I guess, because he said, here, and in the suitcase was my favorite doll, Rena. Well, of course, then that broke up everything. And that's how he got to Oregon. And he had all his household belongings, his team of horses and the cow, all down here in a boxcar. And he had rode with them in the boxcar.
Oh, he did this kind of as a joke to introduce himself. You knew who he was.
Oh, sure.
And he did it sort of as a joke.
Mama couldn't eat it. I could still see Mama sitting at the table just, James. But that was the real.
I can see where you got your sense of humor.
But that is how we came to Oregon. We came to visit and we never went back. But my dad said, well, any place that sounded as good as Oregon did. It seemed like it was the place for us.
It was just sort of.
Then, in order to get a place to live, he had to buy, which is now the site of the Catholic Church, had to buy that. It belonged to, well, you would know, the Will Raywald. The old Bill Raywald. Years back, Raywald.
Yeah, I know the Raywald, man.
You know the, the Raywald.
Oh, yeah.
But it belonged to him.
It belonged to them. Yeah, he must have been original.
And so Dad bought it from them. They were not living there. They had it rented to the Mr. and Mrs. Allen, the
Deep Voyager.
Deep Voyager and his wife were living in the big old house. And so in order to get them out of the house, Dad sold them an acre. There was about 12 acres in the piece of ground that Dad bought. He sold them an acre out of one corner, and they built a house. And then we moved into the old house. And then he sold another 2.5 acres, so this is Albert, to my aunt, and they built a house on the other side. So that's how that little colony grew.
Now,
and now every one of those houses are gone.
No, they were Lutherans.
Your family was Lutheran?
No. An alien.
My mother's
Rubendahl.
My mother's people were Lutherans.
And where were they from?
Well, they were all from Grandpa and Grandma came from Germany.
They were German.
Hamburg. They had 5 or 6 kids. One died coming over aboard ship, one boy. And then they had another girl die. And
what year was that they came over?
Pardon?
What year did they come over?
Do you have any idea?
Oh, it would be... In the 50s someplace.
1850s, before the Civil War and during the Civil
Model
War.
Model would be...
Well, it would be up in the 70s then.
Model would be about 100 years old. I suppose they may have been... She was the youngest.
Uh-huh.
So maybe... 150 years ago, I would say. Didn't you guess? I really did. I don't know. Think about the Jansen. I don't know what part of only Hamburg. I can remember Grandpa talking about Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
But they came out here to the Sherwood area because it was all German.
You were saying something the other day. I mentioned the
Saint Paul. It was all German in there. Even the little school was German. You know,
went there for one day.
And I got home faster than my mother did. She took the long.
You know, I went to that school.
I did the shortcut. That scared me to death when they started talking German to me.
But your mother didn't have too much trouble.
Mama had no trouble at all. She picked it up just like she'd always been talking it. And it was 25 years between the time she saw her people and when she saw them again, and she spoke German just as fluently as though she'd always been. Of course, my father couldn't, and he and I could be together. We talked the same language. So I finally got to the place where I could understand Grandpa and Grandma's family. But people would say, do you talk German? Oh, yes, I could talk German. My mother used to laugh. She said, I talk high German, if you know anything about German. High German and low German and English. I was talking German, though.
She could speak all three.
All three.
There's a big difference.
Yeah. Oh,
big difference. Now, the idea was that if you went across the road, that road, which is now Highway 99, you went across there, you were in Germantown, weren't you?
Yes. They called it Blue Town.
Blue Town. Do you happen to know a story about how that got...
I'm sure your List family would know that.
Oh, I heard a story that was pretty believable the other day. Where the LeBons that old house on their place was apparently painted blue.
Yeah.
That shocked the heck out of everybody, and so they called it Blue Town.
Oh.
Now, that's Art Krebs said that, and I thought that sounded probably one of the most believable stories I've heard.
Well, you know, an interesting thing about that little church. It stood right where the new one stands.
Mm-hmm.
But it had, you attend out there?
Yeah.
Lord's Supper, that beautiful front thing, that altar, that whole affair, was in the little old church.
Oh, it was.
And they moved it all into the new. And when they...
You remember the old church?
When they moved it into the...
Do you remember going to the old church? Did you remember the old church?
Oh, yes. Oh, I used to go with Grandpa and Grandma. And Annie could...
I helped build the new one.
The men on one
Rich
side...
Church, you helped Otto Krebs build that?
I helped in the woodwork and the painting and all that stuff.
How many... That was all volunteer labor?
It's all volunteer labor.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in that? You were a Methodist?
Through the
lodge?
The time was set for opening, and they're running behind in labor.
Oh, I see.
And
so they asked her.
We've always been.
So the Murals asked me to go out and help them. So I helped them for about 6 weeks.
What outfit is this here?
Qantas.
That's Qantas. I'm going to write that on here.
Is it on top there?
No.
Oh, try to remember here. Yeah.
But the interesting thing about that, when they moved that altar and the beautiful large supper,
there,
I think that it's beautiful. Ken painted it all.
I painted all
that. That whole thing, see, it had been in there how many years ago?
What, the altar?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Lord's Supper.
The little figurine?
All the characters,
mm-hmm.
You painted all those?
Yeah.
That's the way they are now?
Yeah.
And
then the altar, the woodwork itself came plain, so I decorated that too. Made all the little spires out of gold and blue. Notice that up there? On the altar?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's...
All the little things
you did that. I did all that. And the pulpit.
The pulpit, yeah.
And west of camp was sitting there and smoking a little pipe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. A little corn cob. Sure.
He often laughed about it. Of course, the Methodists at that time were more strict about smoking. And
And you were kind of surprised to see the pastor.
We have a minister sitting in the church yet smoking. We've always had a good laugh about that.
Yeah. Do you have any personal recollection of him or of any of our pastors?
Pastor Cam?
Yeah. Do you have any anecdotes you remember? Something?
No.
About Wester Cam?
The last time we saw him was sticking his head out of the window in Portland. You remember smoking that corn cob?
Oh,
right?
He had another
the corn cob.
Yeah.
I went to school.
No, but he was he was a nice old gentleman. But he was a very strict.
No,
he wouldn't allow his, don't quote me on this, I mean, don't put it...
Well, it seems, you know...
He would not allow his children to even attend baccalaureate services in school.
Oh, that used to be a big thing with the German Lutherans.
Oh, yeah.
I remember.
But Schulheis wrote that down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And in those days, the men sat on one side, the women sat on the other of the church.
Yeah. The women all in black. I remember that so well.
You remember where? At the Lutheran Church?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not the Methodist?
Oh, no.
No, no, it has always been mixed up.
We were always mixed up. But.
Well, Methodist, that's kind of a... I'm always trying to figure out what they differ. It sounds like an awfully... like an urban church. It's not a country church, the Methodist.
But it's adoptable either way, I think.
It
can be used either.
Well,
I was trying to. What I was really trying to get it was Sherwood didn't have any real immigrant majority in it within
no.
it.
No,
it wasn't what you call a German town.
Not Sherwood.
Not Sherwood.
The Germans were all out
there. They were all out there.
Mm. They even had a little store out there. That is at 6 o'clock.
Reisner's.
Before Ryder.
Before Ryder.
Mrs. Holbrook and who before that? Well, I can't remember who. But Mrs.
They were pretty clannish bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They didn't really come into town much.
No, they didn't. They were self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient.
And they come to town, they couldn't understand people anyway.
Is that right?
Oh, they were real German. And my grandma, bless her little heart, she's the dearest little thing, she wouldn't have heard a fly.
Yeah.
And it was during the war, and they were soliciting for the bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And my father worked down here in Carlson's shirt store. And a police came, and he said, I have arrested your wife's people out there. They are pro-German. They were checking upon these people, and they'd gone to their...
Who said this?
An officer or somebody that was out on bonds, and then they'd gone to the officer. And of course, Dad went right to Mom, and they all went out, and come to find out that a man had tried to sell her some bonds, savings bonds. And Grandma, in her German way, she didn't know what they were selling. She said, no need, no one, didn't know what she was saying no to or anything, and they tried to explain, no. So they were sure she was pro-German. So your poor little grandma's almost going over to Germany. So my dad and Mom had to get that settled out. So that's how German they were.
Almost roped off a whole community and made a concentration camp out of it.
They would have. The second one, the Japs, like if that was Japanese, like that.
Yeah.
But they got it down to the straight ball. But it was poor little grandma. She was one of these crickets.
Yeah.
And she would say, "What have I done? What?"
But was there? Do you remember any kind of actual conflict that actually broke out?
Out there?
Like now, down there you had a lot of Italians?
No. They were all Americanized. I mean, they loved their country and they loved where they lived. I think they were all, I don't know any that were.
No, I don't know any that were.
You don't ever remember a fist fight?
No conflict at all.
I think it was kind of a violent town. But they didn't fight over that sort of thing, over their nationality or national origin.
Oh, you just get too much liquor.
Reminds me of the story of the fellow that got on a Jefferson Street. He'd had a few shots, and the conductor
take
said...
Take that off the tape.
Oh, no.
The conductor said, "Where are you going to go?" "I want to go to hell." "Well, you get off at Sherwood."
The conductor said that?
Yeah.
That's the story they tell. It was a rough time. There was a saloon on every corner.
Why was it? How many saloons do you remember?
Well, I can remember the one, you know, where Ethel's.
Yeah.
Is. That was a saloon. And then the one up where Cowell's Corner was a saloon. And then the one across where the Burns Art Trends was burning. Mm-hmm. That was a saloon. It was three. And the mud this deep, you know, from the street.
We were wondering a little bit a while ago what you might find under these streets.
Yeah, just nothing but mud. And we walked, see no cars. We got off of the depot in Portland, and my uncle met us at the depot, and we got on the train, brown train then, and came off to Sherwood. And then he had no transportation, so we walked from the depot out here, out to Six Corners, where Klein's, that little house, or the third from yours.
Yeah.
You live with your people?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And we walked in dust like that, and the ferns were just growing, you know, it was beautiful. But Mama could see through the dust. She just thought that was beautiful. But that night it rained. And then everything, you know, how nice it can be after rain. She just loved that.
I heard a number of different people. I was talking to Dave Sergino last month, and my dad and my mom both say that out here it was so quiet that sometimes you could hear a roaring sound in the distance.
A roaring sound?
Now other people say they don't know what I'm talking about. It was especially after a strong, particularly strong storm, blew trees down. Dave thought maybe it was Oregon City Falls, which would make sense because there'd be after a storm there'd be a lot of water flowing into it, and there would be
it's a long ways over.
A long ways, but sound-wise, you know, nowadays. There's always a sound.
There's always a roar on the highway going up and down traffic.
There's just no such thing as a quiet.
No.
But it's little things like that always, you know, when suddenly you were transported back there. What, those are the things you probably noticed most of all, yeah. How quiet it was, it seems to me.
Yeah, and how spacious is another word that you could, we can stand now on our back porch, our front porch out at home, you know, and maybe we'd see a house way up on the hill, and maybe another one over on this, two or three over on this hill. And that was it. And I've often think whenever I go down that way at night, what would Mom and Dad think if they could see that hilltop now? You know, it's just one new house one right after the other, new streets, and it just really is a bedroom for Portland.
Yeah.
That's what it's proved out to be.
What about weather? Did you hear any difference in the weather?
Oh yeah,
it got milder.
We were never
milder now than it was.
And we were never without Oregon mist. Yeah. It rained all, you know, that fine mist I can get to. We had Oregon mist all the time. I can't remember when it didn't.
In 1924, the river froze over below the Hawthorne Bridge. I saw that.
I didn't know when it was, 1924, right?
It was 24. It froze over. It's frozen over several times.
Yeah.
But the 24, I saw it.
It's that's something different. I think maybe the water's warmer now. Maybe,
but the
industry that
frost and there was more severe in those days, and the snow was so much more deeper. We don't get a snow anymore.
No,
we've got them 2 feet deep out here, but you never get any anymore.
When I was going to high school in the 20s, I'd have walked from down there to the depot. We went down with a little electric train at that time, and it snowed the trip to here.
Every winter,
but I had to be there.
Well, almost every winter, yeah.
And we haven't had snow like that for years.
And then I think we had it in 45. It was pretty deep.
When World War II broke, my brother was in the army, and he went to, they were taking up to Aberdeen, the Twin Cities, Aberdeen and Hokum. I went up one weekend to see him. I was going to drive up, but it was such a slick mess. I got to the depot and I parked the car and went up on the train, and I got up as far as Kelso. There's no signs of any frost, and yet down here was a mass of ice, just glazed over.
Yeah, Seattle now, places, you get the Olympic Peninsula keeps the weather out.
Yeah.
They get temperature.
But it seems like, I've read several times of the glaciers are moving north.
Yeah.
That's why it's getting warmer. But at the turn, when it takes about 100 years for them to get where they're going and start back where they're, and as they come back, it'll get colder and colder again.
A lot of people wonder about that.
Well, that's what I've read several times about that.
Let's see what else.
In fact, that's what was happening when the Titanic sunk. The glaciers were moving south.
What was that iceberg doing so far south?
A huge chunk. Well, that's the whole thing was moving south. The age was getting colder and colder.
Yeah.
But now we don't hardly ever get a half inch or an inch down here on the hill, they may get 2 or 3 inches, but...
Have you ever talked to Gladys Aiton? She was here when we came. She's just a young girl.
I think she has been interviewed.
Oh.
I think somebody else did it.
One of Moorback's girls.
Her
father was the mayor here for 20 years.
Yeah, she was one of the first gals that she got in touch with. But I was thinking, you know, now about this church now. This is kind of a passing of an era here.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's a sad one, too.
Something that you've been
involved in. Other buildings, old buildings like that, have gone up and smoking.
Yes, but it's the fact that it's so old. And it was so. Well, there's hardly anyone well, I would put it in the last, say, 10 years that haven't been touched some way by that little church. There's been some association with most anyone. In the last 10 years, at least all these newer people, not so much, but I don't know, it's just been marriages and deaths and many funerals to the church for years.
Of course, as of now, this year it's 80 years old.
Mm-hmm. When did they move out of it? It wasn't being used.
We moved over there.
5 years ago now, isn't it? Four or five.
Brian is about 10 years.
It's been used as a rummage sale ever since, so. Coffee
and
break in the back room.
The paper said either that it was caused by combustion. I still can't
believe that. Well, I don't either, but we can't prove a thing, and neither can anybody else, so.
Did you go to school here?
She did.
Did you? What grades? Did you go to grade school?
At the old, this furniture factory.
The furniture studio.
You went to that
old
place?
A new school when we came here, and I went through it in eighth grade, and our daughter went through it.
I know my older brother and sisters went through there. I almost did, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, part of that was towed over to the new school, wasn't it?
The gym.
That old building.
And then the top was cut off of it. The top. Classrooms were cut off.
It sits on an angle, out from the new school, toward the road. That's the old gym.
You remember anything that happened there? Remember any outstanding teachers that you admired?
My first school teacher. Of course, I started in school in a little Todd house in South Dakota.
Oh.
My father took me by sleigh in the wintertime.
How old were you when you came out here now?
Well, about 7:30.
Oh.
So I started a school there, you see. So then I started here. But they started me all over again in the first grade.
Oh, they did?
But, Miss Gray was her name. And the type that wore long black skirts wouldn't look so outlandish now, you know. And a gray blouse. Hair up like it. Kind of looks like they do now, you know. It looks so funny. But we would all line up in the hallway. The kids in this day and age wouldn't ever think of doing that. We'd all line up in the hallway. You